This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
I admire your courage, Miss...
Trench. Sylvia Trench. I admire your luck. Mr.
Bond. James Bond.
Mr. Bond, I suppose you wouldn't care to, raise the limit?
I have no objections.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and joining me as always, Sharmila Ganesan and Arvind Yuvaraj. And it's Throwback Tuesday, and we were initially, well, going to do our usual thing, talk about some movie that we love from, I don't know, 20, 50, 60 years ago. But instead, over the weekend, Sir Sean Connery passed away. And so we thought that it would be a good idea to just use an episode and tribute somebody who really was in many ways a giant of Hollywood and a giant of a movie star.
I think all you need to do is go on your Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, you know, over the weekend, and you'd see the sheer number of people who have been sharing pictures of Sean Connery as Bond, sharing, you know, quotes of famous quotes from his Bond films, and just talking about how he was just the definitive James Bond for so many of them. And given that James Bond is possibly one of the biggest and longest lasting film franchises in Hollywood history, that's actually no small thing.
Yeah, and he's also one of those old school Hollywood guys, right? The people who had like two different lives. So the people that you'd see on screen and the Hollywood persona, and then you'd have their private lives that you would know nothing about. So it's like the classic sense of Hollywood celebrity. That was like Sean Connery. And he's in a breed that is almost extinct. I think there are not a lot of people like him anymore. That, of course, is because of his age and because of how long he's been around. But also, after he passed away, I saw like messages coming in, some of like family groups and stuff. People from different ages would sort of message in and talk about the movies that they watched when they were growing up, which kind of tells you just how long he's been in Hollywood and the impact that he's had on so many people across so many generations.
So, okay, let's just get this out of the way then. He was the first James Bond.
Yes.
He played James Bond multiple times over. I do think that we want to expand this and talk about the things he did that weren't necessarily Bond-related, because he had a really interesting and varied career, but he did personify in many ways James Bond, right? Like the very first time most of us encounter a Bond, he's widely regarded as the best one to have stepped into the shoes. I was reading earlier about how the producers cast him after they watched him walk. Mm-hmm. They did it without a screen test. And I think that is pretty much the Bondiest story, you know, for somebody who was cast as James Bond.
I mean, you could argue it's easy to be the best when you were the first. But I think it's also not easy to originate a role that went on to become so iconic. Because when you make that translation from page to screen, you need someone who is both instantly recognizable, but at the same time singular. And how do you manage that? And I think there's a reason why every new Bond is constantly compared to Sean Connery, because so much of that inscrutable persona and also just the debonair looks of it, the suaveness, the way he speaks, you know, the way he carries himself, the way he walks, like you said, so much of that has come to define what many of us imagine in our heads when we think James Bond.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people have broken out of that as well. Like, they've tried over the years, like the different Bonds have tried to sort of deviate from Sean Connery's sort of template or the things that he set out or he set up at first. I don't think there's a single actor who has been successful in doing that. And there's obviously there's a reason for that, right? Because of how he played the role, how powerful he was, and how lasting that effect is. So even Daniel Craig, who is the most subversive of the Bonds, you find him sort of going around and pulling influence from Sean Connery in some of the movies like Spectre and stuff. You can see that influence still linger around, which says a lot, which I guess says a lot about the way Sean Connery played James Bond back then.
Also, he was a subversive Bond for his time, insofar as we're saying he originated the character, but he originated the character on screen and of course existed mm-hmm. in books prior to that. And the way he played Bond was a little bit darker, you know, a bit angrier, a bit grittier, a bit more, a bit less Roger Moore. I think Roger Moore in some ways is closer to what the original envisioning of Bond was, but Sean Connery kind of went there. And it is worth saying at this point, like we said, we're not going to dwell too much on his personal life, but he grew up really poor.
Mm.
And he grew up really poor and working class in Edinburgh. And so I think he brought a certain amount of grit and realism and rawness to a role that makes you feel like this is a ball of energy that's just covered up in a really nice suit and watch. But underneath it all, the man could kill you.
Even the, you know, back then, even the Scottish accent was controversial because your, you know, typical stiff upper lip Brits wouldn't really have seen that as their Bond. So, yes, you know, he was very subversive back then. I was going to ask you guys if you have a favorite Sean Connery Bond film.
No. So this is weird. My Sean Connery Bonds are sort of mishmashed into one another.
I get that. So, yeah. I totally get that.
You know, so if you played me like a random scene without the villain or without the plot, just a random scene of James Bond from one of the films, I don't think I'd be able to tell you which one it's from. Like I'm bound to make like a couple of mistakes before guessing the right one. So no, it's like it's Sean Connery Bond and then it's the other eras.
Every year, I think I'm going to go and rewatch all the Bonds. You know, I think I'm finally going to do it. I'm going to do a marathon. And I haven't. And so for that reason, I also haven't revisited Sean Connery as James Bond in a long time, which is why I wanted to talk about his other roles. Because actually, I first encountered Sean Connery as an older man when I was growing up in cinema. The first time I saw Sean Connery and knew it was Sean Connery outside of James Bond, I was, I don't know, 8 or 9, you know? So I think that my relationship with Sean Connery as a star is actually very sharply divided into he was James Bond and then he was in all these other movies that I watched growing up. So no, do you?
Well, so I completely get that because for the longest time, James Bond was just that guy in Dr. No and he was my favorite James Bond. Mm. And then there was Sean Connery, this much older man with the white beard who was Indiana Jones's father.
Yes.
So I didn't even realize these were the same actors until I was a little bit older. So I completely get where that's coming from.
So I think that brings us pretty neatly to talking about Sean Connery post-James Bond because he was so, I mean, he was in many ways the Chris Evans Captain America situation where it's just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Stop asking me about it. Mm-hmm. And he, in the end, much like Daniel Craig, actually, he started coming back to the franchise primarily for money and not really because he loved the character. So I think it is worth talking about how he then built a persona outside of James Bond. And I think he really started doing that when he got older.
Yes, because I think it needed, again, that visual marker of him looking different.
The distance.
Yeah, and I think that's actually really important because Sean Connery, older, looks very different from Bond. And I think that almost feels like it might be deliberate, even the roles that he's taken on. You know, in Hunt for Red October, he literally plays a Russian who was the villain in most of the Bond films.
What was his accent, though? Tell me.
You know, no one knows what Sean Connery's accent is. Just a Sean Connery accent.
Are you trying to tell me that Sean Connery as Dragonheart isn't the most iconic Sean Connery role ever?
Thank you so much for bringing up Dragonheart. So Dragonheart and The Rock, my two real introductions to Sean Connery. And that's because I was at that age where you're starting to watch films. You're starting to watch films that are maybe a little bit above your age grade. But yeah, so the first time that I really encountered Sean Connery as an icon was as, yeah, John Mason, man, The Rock.
For me, it was The Dragon.
Like, I love The Dragon.
I love The Dragon. That was the first movie that I found out about Sean Connery. And then I was like, oh, so it's this guy. And he's like a huge deal, like a pretty big deal in Hollywood.
I never knew it was him doing the dragon's voice. See, again, for me, I feel like Sean Connery exists in so many different spaces. And it took me a while, honestly, I think literally before the show. And this made me a little sad to realize that his last film was actually League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which was in 2003. And weirdly enough, though, in my head, I feel like he's done a bunch of other things and I just haven't caught up with them somehow.
No, wasn't that movie like so bad that it forced him out of Hollywood?
Yes.
Like he just didn't want to act anymore.
He just hated the Hollywood process. He's talked about it over the years as well, how much he hates the Hollywood process. And I think League of Extraordinary Gentlemen just kind of sealed it.
So we're talking today about the life and times of Sir Sean Connery, the first James Bond. He passed away over the weekend at the age of 90. And we've gone off or slightly away from 007. We're talking about his other roles. After this, we'll continue that discussion. Tell us, you know, did you enjoy Sean Connery? What are your favorite on-screen memories of him? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
You said you wanted to know how to get Capone. Do you really want to get him? You see what I'm saying? What are you prepared to do?
Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do? If you open the ball on these people, Mr. Nash, you must be prepared to go all the way. Because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
I want to get Capone. I don't know how to get him.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone.
Hello, you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin, and together we are paying tribute to a titan of cinema, Sir Sean Connery, who passed away over the weekend. And we spoke earlier about how his, is it seven Bonds?
Seven Bonds.
Yeah, how his seven Bonds, with the exception of the later ones where he's older, the first five, I think, are kind of blurring into this one mega Bond. but he also did a lot of other things. So before we get into 1990s Sean Connery, last night I watched The Man Who Would Be King. Have you guys seen it?
I haven't seen that one.
No.
Oh, it's so good. So I hadn't seen it either. But then it's fascinating because it's an all-star cast. It was then and it still is now because it is Sean Connery, Michael Caine and Christopher Plummer, which is mad. and it's based, of course, on the Rudyard Kipling novella. Yeah. And it's just stupendous. And I think it really plays with, because basically you have Michael Caine and Sean Connery as rogue soldiers in British India who decide that they want to go off and conquer Kafiristan and become warlords and become kings. And they end up, one of them ends up being mistaken for a god. And so you get to see Sean Connery really, really stretch. It's a lovely performance because he plays with this idea of being the masculine macho soldier man, but he's also inherently very silly. The two of them, it wouldn't work, this self-aggrandizing warlords thing, wouldn't work if the performances weren't so charming and heartfelt and silly and frightening. And it's just such a great film. And it reminded me of just watching and enjoying Sean Connery.
So I got to thinking about what else I remembered him from those early days. And although this was a film that I just watched as an adult, but I always go back to thinking of Marnie, which is by Alfred Hitchcock, because I think it was one of those films that Bond opened up for him. Because I feel like when you watch Marnie, you get a more realistic idea of what someone like a rich, older, you know, suave gentleman might be. But also it's Hitchcock. So it's actually a really great opportunity to watch Sean Connery in a film that you may not see, you may not think of him as being in. It's got this cat and mouse game. It's got a great female lead. It's Tippi Hedren. They've got great chemistry. And for me, I think that's one of those definitive outside of Bond roles if you're looking for something from that era, because it's 1964.
So I don't know about, I think the earliest one for me isn't even that early. It has to be like close to the 90s. It has to be Indiana Jones. That's like way later. So the only thing I remember, not the only thing, one of the biggest things I remember Sean Connery for outside of Bond is him playing Harrison Ford's dad in Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love it so much because it's so difficult to get someone to play Harrison Ford's dad and to get that vibe. It could have been done goofy, or it could have been done in a sort of like, we're both opposite sort of a way. But they got someone to play older Harrison Ford. And Harrison Ford is already like a grumpy, sort of aloof character that is not approachable. And to find someone to mirror that or to ping pong that, or to even amplify that to the extent where you think Harrison Ford looks friendly is a huge deal. It's like, it's big. So I love that. I love him in The Last Crusade.
They're both like that off screen as well.
I was going to say, right? Sean Connery, when he was a kid, worked as a milkman. You know, Harrison Ford was famously a carpenter. So I think in these ways, right? Well, I mean, one's American, one's Scottish, but there's that similar vibe that they bring. Also, Do you guys know what the age difference actually is?
I read this just yesterday and I was shocked. They were just 12 years apart, right?
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yeah, they cast him as his dad and they were just 12 years apart.
It's the beard. It's because of the beard.
It's the beard and the graying, I think. But I think the other thing I wanted to say was that I enjoyed reading this thing where Sean Connery essentially said, as he was looking for the second act, right, that he was going to go into post-Bond, he specifically said, I don't mind being older and I don't mind looking silly. And I think that in the roles, maybe not Marnie, but in the other roles that we're talking about, there is that. When you see someone play, the secret agent of our times, you don't then go on to think, oh yeah, you know, this. Let's have this person make fun of that or make fun of himself or be, you know, or have that quality to him. Mm. But he does. And that's what he brought to a lot of the roles that came after Bond.
You're talking about Entrapment, right?
Thank you so much. My favorite movie.
I know. I knew it was bound to come up. But I did want to counter that by saying he did win Academy Awards. And that's something that I think people forget. So I just wanted to bring those up because he won the Best Supporting Actor for The Untouchables, which is such a good film. I mean,
love
it's an ensemble cast. Yeah. And sometimes I think because, again, Sean Connery just doesn't exist very much outside of films. You don't hear about him in articles or interviews, but he was great in that movie. And he also won Best Actor for The Name of the Rose, which I haven't watched.
You know, like all that being said, one of my favorite things about Sean Connery is not the stuff that he did, but the roles that he turned down. So there's a bunch of like big roles that he got, like the script was like on his lap, like in his lap. And he said no, simply because he said he didn't understand the script. Gandalf was the biggest one. So he literally said, I read the Lord of the Rings, the books, I saw the script. And then even after watching the movies, once it was done, he said, I still don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. And The Matrix was the same thing. I think he was supposed to play Morpheus, or he was supposed to do something else. And again, he said, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't understand this script.
I can't imagine those movies with Sean Connery in them, though. Like, what would they have been?
I don't know. But it's like fun to think about. And I don't know. I think you have to be a certain level of celebrity to say, I don't understand this gigantic script that you're giving me that's taken a lot of work and effort. And I don't want to take it just because I don't know what's happening.
I think that it's interesting to imagine partly because, and this is just something I wanted to bring up. I think Sean Connery has tremendous chemistry with his fellow castmates. And this happens time and time again. So whether it's Nicolas Cage or Harrison Ford or Dennis Quaid when he's not actually there and he's just being a dragon, or Audrey Hepburn.
Yes.
He just has a tremendous way about bringing forth this warmth and chemistry on screen with whoever it is that he's partnered with. And you match that with the iconic voice and the presence and all of it, right? And so, okay, fine. I don't necessarily want to see Ian McKellen replaced ever, really. I don't know who the heck he could have played in The Matrix. But I think whatever
Neo.
Sure, the backbend. But I think whatever he did, it would actually have worked because he's just really good at bringing chemistry.
So, we spoke earlier about how The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was really a really bad film. But, you know, I loved him in that. He plays Alan Quatermain. And I will shamelessly confess that I've watched that movie a good 5 or 6 times. One, because they used to repeat it a lot on Astro. But two, mostly because of how much I loved him and Nasruddin Shah as Captain Nemo. And, you know, he's so good in that film, precisely for what you just said. Every person that comes on screen with him, the chemistry is just amazing.
I think I hate that movie specifically because it retired Sean Connery. I'm like, this is you. You made him hate Hollywood. Like, how dare you? But if you guys had to choose or pick like a film or a franchise for Sean Connery to show up in, which one would it be? If he was still in Hollywood, if he decided not to retire, like what would you have liked to see him in?
John Wick.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yes.
That's mine. Mm.
So mine's not going to be a franchise, but it's going to be a pickup from what Lynn said earlier. I'd love to see him do some just like some funny comedy. Like whether the kind of stuff that sometimes Ian McKellen does, or just something funny and
Not like Robert De Niro dirty grandpa.
No, dirty grandpa. Like a classy comedy with a bowler hat and a cane. I want to see that.
You know what I want to see? I want to see him show up in Skyfall. And I'm not going to spoil Skyfall, but there was a role in Skyfall that was written specifically for him. I'm sure of it. No one's going to admit it, but you know what it is. And I wanted to see that so bad.
And you think he threw the script out the door literally, like, and said, I don't want to be in this film. Leave me alone with this Bond stuff.
In that same vein, it would have been funny to see him in Kingsman.
It would have, wouldn't it? Mm. Yeah.
But I mean, again, I would like a better franchise for him, but such is life. So yeah, we've been talking today about Sean Connery and his passing over the weekend, and just paying tribute to what was really an extraordinary career that ended in an unextraordinary film, sadly. Let us know if you have a favorite role of his, whether it's Bond or something else. If you wanted to answer Arvind's question and cast him in something right now, what would that be? WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And of course, you can also write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.